Before we go into the topic of this morning, I would also like to read a couple of verses from the Bible. It's from Isaiah 40. And those verses are very realistic, I think. 40 verse 6 to 8. All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. I like this because the foundation we stand on is that God is true to his word. And that is kind of the topic also this morning. When I was a teenager, and also during my student days, I had that big question in my life. It was the question of what is the meaning of life? Now, I think many of you recognize that question. What I found a bit frustrating as I went to church every Sunday and I listened to all those preachers doing their thing, and in my experience, no one addressed the question I had. In the I'm preaching regularly myself, and I've learned that it can sometimes be very difficult to address those questions. I have found kind of an answer. Problem with such a question is you need to change the question a bit, so it's sometimes complicated. In a way, that's the same with the series we are doing now. Andy has started a series on Genesis, and he started with Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And he already said there are many different opinions about, well, not exactly what it is saying, but how does it relate to reality? How does it relate to science? Because we live in a world where I think everyone at school is taught about the origins of the world after a very long period of evolution. I don't know exact numbers, but I believe it's 15 billion years ago that the universe started, and 5 billion years ago that the earth somehow was there. He said, okay, there are different opinions about that among us as believers. The challenge is to address that. Because what I would like to start, and it will be continued in the next couple of weeks, is how do we deal with this? Personally, I come from a very long journey. I grew up in a church where they believed that Genesis 1 to 11 should be understood literally, which meant that the earth was 6,000 years old. In the Netherlands, you had one TV channel, the Evangelische Omroep, an evangelical company that in the 80s promoted that view. Still, I remembered going to secondary school, and the first class I did a presentation on evolution. Somehow it fascinated me. And in my innocence, I didn't really know what I was doing. And strangely enough, the people around me were not really bothered by it. But when you start to go to university and go to study, especially when you go to study theology, as I have done, I'm an Old Testament scholar, and I did a lot of study, especially in the first chapters of Genesis. And, well, that means wrestling with, well, what is it exactly saying? I kind of found my way there. And I found my way not by doing a lot of science. I'm not, to use in the English meaning, a scientist. I'm a scholar. In English, there's a distinction. In my own native language, in Dutch, there isn't, to make it more complicated. In a Dutch, you'd say that I'm still a scientist also. It shows how complicated a world can be. But this, for me, it was about studying scriptures and reading Genesis 1 to 11, that I kind of found my way there. And what I would like to do this morning is ask the question, what is our faith based on? This is the cover of a nice book. Three evangelical Old Testament scholars wrote about the question of Genesis 1 to 11. Is it history? Is it fiction? Or is it something in between? They don't agree. One says it's fiction, the other says it's history, and the third one says it's something in between. Now, notice all three consider themselves to be evangelicals. They consider the Bible to be the Word of God. And they consider the Bible not just be the Word, but the faithful Word of God that can be trusted. As far as I know, none of them believe that the earth is 6,000 years old. They have no problem with an old earth. I don't know why they stand on evolution and that kind of stuff. But they, at the end, they have a discussion and they don't agree. And of course, I read the review of someone who does believe the earth is 6,000 years old, as he feels kind of left out. And one of the three authors he calls an heretic for calling Genesis 1 to 11 fiction. And I must say, reading about the discussion, it's often not friendly. You feel that something important is at stake here. Now, there we are. As an international church, I know there are different opinions. How can we help each other? That's pretty difficult. Because when you believe something of Genesis 1 to 11, personally, I find it very hard to really understand the opposite. I don't know how you feel about that, but personally, I don't believe that Genesis 1 to 11 is intended to be understood literally as a report of history. I think the text has indications that it's intended in a different way. I know there are people who feel very strongly about the opposite. And they don't understand where I'm coming from. I feel that I'm betraying the Christian faith and the Bible. And I find it very difficult to really understand the opposite. But I also realize, can I be wrong? I'm a human being. Of course I can be wrong. So, should someone base his faith on my interpretation of Scripture? I hope you have a better foundation than that. You know, Because if, when I look at the past 20, 30 years of doing theology, I myself sometimes discovered that something that I found, say, nonsense 20 years ago, at a certain point it started to make sense. So, but we face that question. How do we deal with that in a respectful way? And I would say that is the first challenge we face. Let's be respectful to one another. Try to understand where we're coming from. You know, this is just the previous slide with those three ultimate scholars. If you don't agree, you can of course say, well, because I don't agree, I don't believe you are really a Christian. Does that help? No. I think when you are sitting here, you have a kind of basic feeling of whether you should read Genesis 1 to 11 literally or not. And based on that, you have questions. When you read it literally, you face, of course, the question of science. Scientists don't believe in a 6,000 years old Earth. Well, very, very small minority. How do you deal with that? And then there are those questions that people already ask for 2,000 years about where did Cain get his wife? How did all the animals fit in the ark? Those are real questions. That doesn't mean automatically that's wrong, because there are always questions. So, this is basically where we are. But there is an additional problem. I am basically an Old Testament scholar. I know something about theology in general. And that's theology with a TH, not earth science. I know something about archaeology. But I don't know hardly anything about, for example, biology. And when I read about discussions about evolution and or not, I probably will believe the last person I read. I don't know how you feel about that, but I do not feel competent to have a judgment about that. And that's the problem with modern science. It's all so specialized and complex. How do we deal with that? It's also sometimes related to the Bible. There are archaeologists that say the exodus out of Egypt, it never happened. We did not find one trace in the desert there that more than a million people went through that. And we should have found that. Others say, well, the Bible does not say there are millions. It has a smaller number. And it's always very difficult to make the absence of evidence, evidence of absence. If it's not there, it does not mean it does not happen. You see a documentary, they are mostly on National Geographic nowadays, about that. How do you feel about that? I think most of you are not archaeologists. How do we deal with that? I would say if you try to base your faith on that, how do you ever sleep? Because all those questions you have. You know, these kinds of questions about the Exodus is kind of my field, because I'm an Old Testament scholar. I sometimes find it very hard to deal with that, because the information we have is very little. And it needs a lot of interpretation. Interpreting the Bible is easier than dealing with archaeology. So there we are standing now. And that is, I think, a challenge I want to be real about. So we have that question. And I have quoted here Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Why do we believe? Because the word of God is proclaimed to us. I want to use an example. And in this kind of context, the examples that are closest are often about love. Imagine there is a woman who is searching for a husband. She wants to find the right guy and be certain it is the right guy. She has some bad experiences, so she wants not to find the wrong one again. So she goes to, a website that uses the latest knowledge we have from psychologists, from sociologists, and everything there is. And some very clever programmers made a terrific website. Success is guaranteed. Well, she goes on there and she finds someone. The click is completely there. And they both say, well, science has shown it. It's a good, solid foundation to get married. So they do. But I don't know about you, but science is always developing. So 10 years later, there are new scientists who write new articles, do new research, and they update the website. And if she would now go onto it, she would find another husband. But they are married. Now, I hope sincerely that they love each other. Because that's what marriage is about. Whatever reason they had to find each other, I would find it very sad if they haven't found love between each other. And isn't that what marriage is about? And then science may go on, but that love is real. And somehow I believe that love cannot be completely captured in psychological studies or sociological studies or whatever science is used to understand it. It's something in itself. It's real among people. I would suggest it's the same with faith. Faith is about God having spoken to us, and somehow he has convinced us he is real. There may be doubt. I would say most marriages know that kind of doubt. But does it mean that's not real? And of course there is science. Archaeologists are doing that job. Also people studying biology. But I would suggest that faith is something in itself. You cannot, of course you can describe part of faith, for example, from a psychological need. But you make a mistake if you try to identify faith completely with that need. Philosophers sometimes speak about religion as a projection. Of course we project. But faith, I would suggest, is not the same. It's something in itself. And that's something that should be nourished. Just like love in a marriage needs some nourishment. That's why we come together. To be reminded of who God is, because that's the essence of it. We celebrate communion. We do it once twice a month, once every week, every another week. Why? Because we want to be reminded who God is and that he showed himself in Christ. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we come together to talk about God. Why we have connect groups. That's why we do all those things, somehow find a way to be reminded, yeah, this is who God is. Like in marriage, in love, you are reminded, yeah, this is who the other is. I would suggest that is the foundation. And from that foundation, we deal with science. We deal with the questions of life. We deal with finding the truth. But it gives us a certain perspective. And the question what faith is based on is more than something we have. It's not something we feel or experience. Faith is more than that. It's that trust you have in God because he has spoken to us, knowing we are safe in his hands, even if we struggle. It is, I think, from that position that we deal with questions, that we deal with struggle, that we deal with doubt. Another quote from Scripture: all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. You know, in part of biology, is that we divide all species there are in families and more of that kind of stuff, of which I don't know the names at the moment. There is in Leviticus 11 a list of birds. Included in that list are bats. As far as we know, bats are not birds. Does that mean that the Bible made a mistake there? I would say that would be a very weird conclusion. Because that would say that the way we divide nature would be the only way there is. Now, especially modern Western society is very scientific based. We want to have everything scientifically researched and base our arguments on that. But there are other ways to do that. And that list reflects how people sometime in the first millennium before Christ saw nature and how they grouped things. The Bible, does the Bible intend to give information on everything and be correct in that? Or does the Bible intend to give information about God and about who we are and about salvation? And doesn't care a bit, for example, about science? There's a debate that's sometimes there. It has to do with how do we see that God is faithful in Scripture. It's how we deal with questions of evolution and creation. Now, I am an Old Testament scholar. One of the things that you learn when you study theology and specialize in the Old Testament is you get to know the world of the ancient Near East from, say, 3rd millennium until say the end of the Old Testament. You get to know that world. And you see that the Bible is written by people from that world, addressing people in that world. They would not understand 21st century science, and I think they wouldn't care about it. It's the same that we have in an international church. When you come from China or Taiwan, I believe I should call that in one sentence, but hey, we're standing above that. Or from South America or from the United States, we come from different cultures. And it would be very weird to make one culture the norm and say, well, we are right and everyone is wrong. But there are differences. There are real differences between us. We see the world in a different way. And that's also the case with the Bible. The Bible, God communicates, and he tries to communicate in a way that people understand. And if you, that's also what we do. We try to find something. When you try want to communicate and try want the other to understand, you go in the direction of the other and try to enter his or her world. That's what God did. Why did he do that? Because he wants to be known. If I want to understand someone from China, I probably should go there, learn the language, and live some time there. And then maybe I get to understand something. That means coming away from my culture. In a way, that is what Scripture is about. Now, we can, of course, say every little detail must be right. But what we do is either we trust science, or we reject all science because it's not right and according to the Bible. Does that really help to hear who God is? What Paul is doing here is he reminds us, well, it's useful to get to know God and to grow as a believer. And I would suggest, also when we talk about Genesis, that is what it's about. Get to know God. And this is my last thing, and I think let's end with cheese. This cheese, I'm told, is Swiss cheese with a lot of caps. In theology and philosophy, there is the expression "the card of the caps." What does it mean? That means that we connect cards with the things we don't understand. And sometimes, especially people who do not like Christianity or any religion there is, they say, well, in the past, people didn't understand a lot of things. So they ascribe those things to the cards. But now we are wiser and we know how those things work. For example, we know how lightning works, so we don't need some Wodan or Zeus or whatever card there is to explain where lightning is coming from. That's a story that's often told. To be honest, it's nonsense. People in the past did not believe in cards because they didn't understand some things. And I would say that's also for us a challenge. God is not the God of the caps, he's the God of everything. He's also the God of the things we very well understand. And strangely enough, that's how we deal with God. For example, when someone is sick, we pray for that person. But the person is also going to the doctor. And when that person gets better, We thank God, even when the doctor can explain how the cure worked. We see that at two levels. I think that's very important. Faith is also about how to see life around us and who we are. And strangely enough, things we don't understand, we can praise God for that. But does it help us to believe? Sometimes we hear the story about someone getting better miraculously. And the doctor says, well, I don't understand how it worked. Here, some kind of miracle, because I wouldn't have expected that. Well, it's great to praise God for that. Because I would say it's great to praise God for everything. I think most of the time that doctor will not come to faith. Because I think as someone scientific trained, things unexplained invite to further study. And maybe there comes a day that it can be explained. That's the problem with a card of the caps. The caps become smaller. And I would challenge you to also connect God with things we do understand. It's a different way of looking at the same thing. And it's sometimes not easy, but sometimes there are different explanations, because it's always, sometimes it is in the eye of the beholder. And I know in my own field of the Old Testament, I mentioned the Exodus as an example. When you study history and ignore the Bible, you can't tell the story of Israel. You don't need God for that. Well, you don't understand everything. But let's be honest, when you read the Bible, you also don't understand everything. That's how it works. But you can tell that story in the context of political events that happened. It makes sense. You can read the Bible in that context. It still makes sense. And still, the Bible does not want to tell that story. Because it wants to involve God there. So it tells a different story. And when I as a believer can connect to that. I know people working with the Old Testament who are not a believer, who cannot work with that. So that's a very important thing also when we deal with faith and science. We cannot use things unexplained to argue God's there. What we can do is keep it close to home and testify about that. That's what the Bible does. It tells the story of Israel from the perspective of God's journey with Israel. And it means making choices. One funny thing is about, there is a king of Israel, Jeroboam II. He ruled for 41 years, which is, compared to other kings, very, very long. He's maybe the king who ruled longest. The Israel was very powerful at that time. It had a huge kingdom. World powers of that time were weaker. When you try to find it in the Bible, it is only a couple of verses that's dedicated to it. Why? Because the author of the Bible is not interested in that guy that did not worship the Lord. Simply not interesting. Because his story is about the faithfulness of God. And what he can tell about the period of that king is that apparently God showed mercy to Israel and postponed the final destruction, which came really soon after the end of the reign of this king. You can tell the story from different perspectives. And that's a challenge we face. How do we see our life? How do we involve God in that? That means knowing God and trusting Him. And that is what faith is about. Now, I hope we can continue. The idea at the moment is in 2 weeks' time that we have some kind of forum on how to read Genesis 1 to 11. But these are the things that need to be said before that. What is our faith based on? I hope it's more than just a rational argument. It really touches us and we know we are known by God. So what is the Bible about? When we call the Bible the Word of God, it is about that God wants to speak to us. He wants to show, this is who I am, and I want to be involved in your life, and I pay every price needed to get to that. That's what we should agree about. And then there is a lot of space to find questions to other answers to other questions we have. And let's involve God with everything, not just the things we don't understand. Because believing in God is also about seeing life in a certain way. Part of that is that we travel together. I end this, give you my email, very easy to remember. If you have questions and you need someone to talk through the struggle you have, find someone. If you struggle with questions in biology, don't come to me. I know anything about that. But if it's more related to the Old Testament and theology, you can come to me. I will try to help you or try to find someone better suited to that. But if you struggle with it, find that. Talk about it. That's very important. Because I think it's important to be able to talk about the struggles we have. That's about being real. And in this service already, we saw that as a church, we value that. We believe in a God who is real and entered our life in Christ in all reality there is. And that way we want to be church. So what is our faith based on? I started with a couple of verses from Isaiah 40. When you read the chapters there, you see a people that is promised that God will bring a turn in their faith. And you see a people struggling to believe that. But God says, through his prophet, my words can be trusted. You struggle, but I am there for you. That's the God who we believe in. Let's pray. God, we come before you as we are, and you know us fully. You know us better than we know ourselves. We can't hide anything from you. And you love us. Thank you for that. And Lord, as we face difficult questions, and maybe they are just intellectual questions that not really touch our daily life, even then, you know us. Be with us in all those circumstances, all those struggles. Help us to celebrate that presence of you. Also in the things we do understand. Help us with each other. Help us to be tolerant and loving and understanding to each other. Because sometimes questions can come so close to our hearts that's difficult to really appreciate someone who doesn't agree with that, who has a different position, a different opinion. Lord, help us to find love for one another, to be one as a church, and travel with us. Amen.